We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
College football back this year and really back to normal this year, fans and all that good stuff. And, well, if you're going to talk college football, you damn well better bring in Phil Steele. He is with Phil Steele's legendary College Football Preview magazine. Phil, it is awesome to have you on here in Cleveland. How you doing, buddy?
You know, I am doing great. Like you said, now that the fans are back in the stadium, we know we're playing football. How much more excited can you be for the upcoming season?
Oh, last year, you know, look, it's one of those, and I'm sure you would agree, we were all grateful that we had football last year, but it's just, it really, I think, made the point that the fans and the ambiance, and there's nothing quite like a Saturday afternoon or night, right?
Yeah, and I think this year we're going to have bigger home field advantages than we've ever had in college football, just because everybody got deprived of that last year, wasn't able to go to games, maybe took it for granted. Now nobody's going to take it for granted. They're going to go to the stadium and be super loud. I'm looking for very, very large home field edges this year.
Phil Steele, Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you think the biggest storyline, Phil, heading into this season is?
The biggest one that I see is I talked to 110 of the 130 head coaches this year, and almost every coach would tell me, Phil, we normally are scraping to get a two deep together in the spring. This year we had three teams all spring long. It was great. Everybody's experienced. And yet the four teams that made the playoff last year are all rather inexperienced. While most teams have 15, 16, 17, 18 returning starters. The four teams that made the playoff last year have 9, 10, 11 returning starters, and all of them lost their starting quarterback. So I think if there's ever a year for the Pack to actually catch up with those top four teams, this would be the year.
Phil, how much does it matter, the returning starters? Because when you've got so many these big-time programs with incoming freshmen that are coming in and just making plays, you know, Ohio State just kind of retools and reloads every single year. Alabama does the same thing. How much do you factor that in?
I think you have to. And generally, like I said, most teams only bring back generally 12, 13, 14, but everybody this year has got 15, 16, 17. So I do think it is a factor. Experience is a key level. But as you touched on, Dustin, I mean, you know, last year Alabama lost their first-round draft pick quarterback, their two first-round draft pick receivers, three starting offensive linemen, and they averaged 49 points per game with their first-year starter having a 41-4 ratio. So there was a gap, and the talented teams are the ones, believe it or not, I put on the cover, Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. How's that for going out on a limb?
Love that. Again, Phil Steele joining us. Phil, let's talk about the teams last year from the playoff. And all four of those teams are replacing quarterbacks. Now, again, Clemson, pretty good one, and he got some time when Trevor Lawrence was out. But you're looking at all four of those teams, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Alabama, of course.
Yeah,
Alabama. Kind of a big one. You're talking about all four of those clubs, again, having new QBs, new signal callers this year. Who do you think is in the best position there coming back?
I'm going to go out on a limb of those four. I'm going to take Alabama. How's that? And when you look at Bama, they've got Bryce Young at QB, who's going to be a dynamic playmaker with them. But you look at the surrounding talent. They still have one of the best offensive lines, one of the best running back units, one of the best receivers, defense. They may actually have a better defense, and they gave up 352 yards per game last year. They got eight starters back on defense. This could be the best defense they've had in 3 or 4 years. So I think Alabama's in good shape. I like this shape that Clemson is with DJ Uiagalelei coming back at the quarterback spot and having two starts in last year. But then you look at Ohio State with their talent and schedule. I actually have Ohio State favored in by double digits in every single game this year. Double digits every single game, despite the fact they have to replace their quarterback. I think when you look at it at the end of the year, C.J. Stroud's a guy who's going to step in and be one of the Heisman contenders at the end of the year because he's thrown to the best set of receivers in the country.
Phil, how concerned should you be about the Buckeyes' defense? Last year they gave up a ton of points, a ton of yards. That was the bugaboo for the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I was really concerned about the defense in 2018. Remember, they gave up 403 yards. It seemed like big plays every game. Then Ryan Day takes over, and all of a sudden they allow just 260 yards per game. And I'm like, wow, here they go. And then, as you said, I was surprised once again, back over the 400-yard mark, 25.8 points per game. They do have talent. I mean, I got my number 4 defensive line, number 19 set of DBs, and the DBs is what really concerned me last year. Generally, Ohio State has one of the best secondaries in the country. Last year, they ranked in about the bottom 20 in pass D. I just think there's too much talent for them to be as bad as they were last year by Ohio State standards. I am concerned. It's probably my biggest concern on the team, but I think they'll be improved.
When you look at their quarterback position, Phil, and you've got C.J. Stroud, you've got Kyle McCord, it sounds as though C.J. Stroud's probably got the leg up, but it seems like also the coaches have been extremely impressed with the way Kyle McCord's able to spin it. How do you see that playing out, and kind of give us your breakdown of those two guys?
Yeah, I do see Stroud winning the job. And, you know, in this era where the backup quarterback, if he loses his starting job, has to transfer and end someplace else, I think Ryan Day's playing it the smart way. Now, of course, I don't know what's in Ryan Day's head, and Kyle McCord has been very impressive. Jack Miller's even looked good. He might have the strongest arm of the quarterbacks. But I think when it's all said and done and the season starts, C.J. Stroud's your guy.
Does Ohio State have the deepest group of wide receivers in the country?
Yeah. When your backup wide receiver transfers to Alabama, that tells you a little something about the receiving core. I think it is the best receiving core in college football. Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave. How many number one rated wide receivers can they pull in a year-in, year-out basis?
Right.
And you look at the Ohio State second and third team on the receiving core, and these guys would be starting almost anywhere else, much like the transfer to Alabama.
Hey, Phil, who are the bigger problems, you think, on Ohio State's schedule when you go through it all, 12 games? Who do you think provides the biggest test for them?
I'm going to say the Oregon Ducks, week 2. Mario Cristobal's done a great job building that team. They've got the offensive line. They've got an outstanding defense. Anthony Brown might surprise you a little bit at the quarterback position, but I do have Ohio State a 10-point favorite in that game. The game at Indiana, I think Indiana's closed the gap on Ohio State. I don't think they've closed it all the way. Ohio State generally travels well to Bloomington, have a good fan base there, so I don't think there's going to be a massive home field edge for Indiana. I've got Ohio State about a 10-point favorite in that one. And then I know Penn State was 4-5 last year, but Penn State's a team that traditionally gives Ohio State a good game, and there's no doubt about the talent that James Franklin has brought in there. You know, last year they were 4-5, but outgained teams by 102 yards per game, which is more indicative of being a 7-2 squad. They are my number one most improved team in the country, but Ohio State gets that one at home in Columbus, and once again, a 10-point favorite. So those are the only three games that have Ohio State just a 10-point favorite in. Everything else is 17 or more.
You mentioned Indiana. Michael Penix Jr. is back this season, coming off the injury. How good is this guy?
He's everything you want in a quarterback. They just need to be able to keep him healthy. He's a dangerous runner, dangerous passer. We saw that big two-point conversion, controversial two-point conversion at the end of the Penn State game.
Yeah, Penn State.
But you look at his receiving core, DJ Matthews, Ty Freifogel, Miles Marshall, their tight end, Peyton Hendershot. He's got good receivers to throw to, and I think the run game will be improved, which is all going to make Michael Penix an even better quarterback. Maybe the best, he's probably your number one guy heading into the season. You know, it's possible Stroud passes him up at the end, but definitely coming in, I'd put him number one.
We're talking to Phil Steele, of course, the legendary Phil Steele's College Football Preview magazine, and of course the college season right around the corner. So, maybe the biggest mystery, although it just keeps happening every single year up in Ann Arbor, they're trying to figure out why can't Jim Harbaugh – well, there's a lot of things that they hope he can figure out, but certainly at the top of the list is quarterback. And Joe Milton has gone to Tennessee. McCaffrey's gone to, I think, Northern Colorado, I believe. And now it's going to be a transfer in from Texas Tech, Alan Bowman. What do you see out of the Wolverines this year? Do they finally get it right at that QB position?
Well, I was impressed with Alan Bowman at Texas Tech. He's a guy that has the size, has the arm strength you want. He ran a different style offense there. But when he was healthy and 100%, Texas Tech was winning football games. Then he would just get banged up and injured, miss a bunch of games, and Texas Tech would struggle. So I like what I saw out of Bowman. Is he the perfect fit for the Michigan offense? We'll see. He does have some decent receivers to throw to. Not overwhelming. Nothing on the Ohio State's caliber. The offensive line looks solid. And defensively, probably my biggest question mark, Don Brown's gone. And, you know, Brown had some great defenses, but it seemed like offensive football caught up to him a little bit the last 2 years. And now they've got a brand new defensive coordinator, a new system on the defensive side. They've got players over there. I think NFL caliber guys like Brad Hawkins, Daxon Hill, up front, Aiden Hutchinson, Chris Hinton, all guys that could be playing in the NFL. But I only have Michigan middle of the pack in the Big Ten East this year behind Indiana and Penn State.
Phil, let's take a look at the West. Wisconsin impressed me last year. Graham Mertz got off to that hot start before the COVID issues. How good do you think this guy's going to be?
You know, like you said, 20 of 21 against Illinois, and it sort of lit up everything and then missed a couple weeks of practice with COVID, sort of tallied off. I think Graham Mertz is going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year. You're looking at a guy that's got the size, the arm strength. I mean, he's got the offensive line in front of him, good receiving core. I believe he'll be one of the top 10 quarterbacks in college football.
Hey, Phil, before we let you go, kind of be remiss with some things changing in the world of college football, of course, immediately with the name, image, likeness, and not too far in the distance, a 12-team playoff. What your reaction to both of those and how it may affect or not affect the landscape in college football?
I think name, image, and likeness probably helps the big boys the most. I mean, let's face it, Ohio State's boosters can go ahead and throw some cash and get the best players, just like, I mean, they always land the best players now as it is. So I think the big boys win on that one. But the 12-team playoff, I think the little guys win because now a coach like Luke Fickell over at Cincinnati can honestly say to his recruits, we can play in the playoff this year, and he could maybe land a few. So I think one helps the big boys and one helps the little guys.
What do you think about Iowa State and the job Matt Campbell's done?
Amazing. Just an amazing job. If you would have asked me, Dustin, back in 2016 and said, hey, Matt Campbell will have this team a national title contender, I probably would have laughed. I mean, they were coming off
right.
Three seasons where they won a grand total of 3-2 and 3 games. And what he's done building this team, I mean, last year they had a young offensive line coming into the season, and this year it's a veteran unit. In fact, Coach Campbell told me that it's the deepest offensive line he's had and is a chance to be special. Will you pair that with a veteran quarterback like Brock Purdy, one of the best running backs in the country in Breece Hall, best tight end room in the country with Chase Allen and Charlie Kolar, dangerous receiver like Xavier Hutchinson. You know he always has a great defense, and you know linebacker Michael Rose is back, 19 starters. They're a team that's actually a national title contender this year, extremely deep, and I think that they're going to be a dangerous threat to Oklahoma this year.
Hey, Phil, last thing for me, the Buckeyes, with all the recruits they brought in, the five-star recruits in this class and what they're doing in future classes, how disappointing would it be if they don't win a national championship in the next 3 years?
Well, I would say extremely disappointing. They definitely have the talent to do it, and, you know, this could be the year, or next year could be the year. But, yeah, I would think that they definitely get it done.
Phil, your national champion will be?
I'm going way out of the box here, guys. I went with Oklahoma. And I'm going with Oklahoma for a couple of reasons. I talked about all the big boys are rather inexperienced this year. Oklahoma's not. They got 15 starters back. They got a veteran quarterback. Lincoln Riley, whenever he's had a veteran quarterback, won 2 Heisman trophies with that position and had a Heisman finalist in the other. Spencer Rattler got benched last year against Texas, and after that, he was a much different quarterback. Well, Rattler's back. He's my favorite to win the Heisman. He's got my number 1 rated offensive line in front of him. He's got my number 2 set of receivers in the country, and my number 4 set of running backs. You know they probably have the most explosive offense in the country, but the last 3 times Oklahoma made the playoff, they gave up 54 points to Georgia, 45 to Alabama, and 63 to LSU. This year, or last year, I should say, they only gave up 21 points per game. In fact, they gave up less yards per game on defense than Alabama did at 351. They've got 8 starters back, my number 3 rated defensive line, number 9 set of linebackers, number 3 DBs. I think they have a top 5 defense to go along with that potent offense, and they're very experienced. So add it all up, I've got Oklahoma winning it all and winning their first national title since 2000.
Well, Phil, like all college football fans out there, once the magazine, once the Bible arrives, the College Football Preview magazine, we just isolate for about 2 weeks, and we bury ourselves in all of the previews that you have. It is, again, another job well done. Great, great work, and we look to talk to you again soon, pal. Thank you.
Hey, sounds good. A lot of fun talking football with you guys today.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.